Well, Kristen, I'm going to put my professional reputation on the line this week and say to you that I really liked Marmaduke, which just came out this last weekend. And I have to say, I found it really charming and really fun. I was really captivated by it. I got really into the Marmaduke character and his travails and all his problems. And I really wanted him to fit in with the snobbish dogs at the dog park, but I also wanted him to be true to his mutt friends. And I thought it was terrific. I thought it was a John Hughes film on four legs, and I really enjoyed it.
And I love that you think that about Marmaduke. I love that you think that about Marmaduke. I do. And before I go into it any further, I'll just say it's not as bad a movie as I thought it would be.
Okay, all right. So you're not going to leave me completely twisting in the wind.
No, it's not as bad as I thought it would be, but let me introduce myself. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday.
And this is Movie Day. Who let the dogs out? Today we're going to be talking about animal movies, and specifically live-action animal movies, meaning not the animated kind, as much as I love Up, the movie that came out last year with the talking dogs. We're going to be talking about dogs and cats and other animals that actually are live-action, maybe with a little bit of CGI to make their mouths move, maybe with some assistive puppeteering or other methodologies used, but mostly live animals, which Marmaduke is one of these movies,
starring
Owen Wilson's voice as Marmaduke, who is a Great Dane, seemingly a mixed Great Dane, because he isn't in the purebred scene, right?
That's right. I guess he is. That's right. He is a mutt. He has no papers.
Yes.
In other words, he's got no pedigree, which puts him on the outs with the in crowd at the dog park.
Yeah. You know, if you're a Rottweiler or if you're a Collie, you're probably going to be looking down your snout at him.
I didn't know Collies were purebred. They have a reputation for being purebred animals. I didn't know that.
I think Lassie really brought up the, you know.
But I always think of Lassie as being such a good old American frontier kind of dog. I never think of her as being a pampered. Although she's got that fur, right? You know,
it blows in the wind.
It sure does.
Yeah, it does.
Sure does. Which again, in Marmaduke, there's that great scene where he first sees Jezebel, the Collie, voiced by Fergie. Mm-hmm. Of the Black Eyed Peas, and he sees her running toward him. I'm pretty sure through a sprinklers, which just seemed like a 1980s teen flick version. And although instead of you know Phoebe Cates in a bikini, you've got Jezebel's fur bouncing up and down, which I thought was hilarious.
I do appreciate that you could draw parallels between this movie and movies like the John Hughes movies, the 16
Pretty in
Candles.
Pink. Pretty in Pink
sorts
in particular.
Of, yeah, Pretty in Pink, yes. It's a very Pretty in
and
Pink
also
movie.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Yeah, very much Some Kind of Wonderful.
Right.
And I love that you can see those parallels, and yet at the same time for me that I could enjoy those, certain things like that, my biggest thing is I have a huge problem with CGI stuff on animals.
You don't like those animated snouts and stuff?
You know the E-Trade baby? Oh my God, it just drives me nuts. I have to change the channel when the babies are talking.
Does it freak you out or is it you just find it irritating?
I think it's both. And because what I really want in an animal movie is I want my animal to be an animal. I don't want my animal to be a human. What I want is for the animal to possibly be able to speak human language so I can understand it, but I don't need it to be a human. The moments that I find funniest in an animal movie are when the animals are being animals, but it tells us something about ourselves as humans.
Yes.
One moment in the movie that just made me laugh and laugh is when that kind of semi-bald dog goes out in the rain, and it's pouring, and he's always cold because he doesn't have any fur, and he said, "Oh, I chose a bad night to wear the bumblebee sweater because it's too absorbent," and he's just soaking, and the sweater weighs twice as much as him. And I love that because he was being a dog, and he wears a sweater, and he wasn't trying to be human, but I just want the dog possibly to be either a dog or a man's best friend. And the moments that really touched me when he was man's best friend, Marmaduke, were when he was, there was one point when the little boy says to him, he's getting a bunch of things off of his chest after having just relocated with his family, and he's worried that he's disappointing his dad. And
it's the beach scene. They're on the beach.
Yeah, the beach scene, and he's sitting next to Marmaduke, and he says, "Oh boy, I just wish you could talk and give me some advice." And Marmaduke says, "I just wish you could understand what I'm saying."
Yes, exactly.
And I got a little bit of misty in the eyes, just a little bit of misty. Yeah.
I think there's a scale there. For instance, I think one of the reasons we're not talking about the animated animal films is the opposable thumb. Once you animate the animals, everyone always gives them an opposable thumb, and once they can pick up tools and use weapons and fix things and bend things, they're no longer animals. Now they're just sort of humans with animal snouts,
yes,
right? And
absolutely.
You lose the animalness. And then so then when you have live action and you've got something like, let's say, The Incredible Journey, the mm-hmm. one where the two, it's there's no talking, there's no
it's
voices.
It's two dogs and a cat.
Two dogs and a cat, right? A Siamese, if I remember correctly. Siamese cats. Out in the Canadian wilderness running around.
As they often are.
It is incredible because you'd figure that a Siamese cat would last about 4 or 5 minutes in the Canadian wilderness. But there's no talking or anything. All that is, that's essentially a silent film. You know, and that's, I think, what makes that film so great is because the animals really seem to interact on an animal level.
I don't think that movie would succeed nowadays, though. And I
no,
recently
no
saw Benji, one of the Benji movies. Again, it's the animals just trying to make it back to wherever they got lost to. Or I think Benji was...
That's a Benji sequel, I think you must be talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's one of
Benji
the
Benji the Hunted, perhaps.
Oh, good one, Rafer. Well, yes.
Here's a date stamp. You're talking to a guy who saw Benji in the theaters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so
oh, yeah.
It might have been Benji the Hunted, but
yeah.
He keeps on escaping from hunters and from
yeah,
other people.
Yeah, something like that.
And dog catchers or whatever. And there's absolutely no... You know, it's not like Benji talks and says, oh,
no.
Gosh, I wonder what's in that barn over there. Oh, no, it's a bird. You know, he doesn't say anything. It's
right.
Just Benji's being a dog.
And that was pre-CGI. And I think it was Babe that I think ushered in. I could be wrong. I don't remember seeing any of the animated snout animal movies before Babe.
And I'm glad
either.
You brought up Babe, though, because I just love Babe so much.
It's the Casablanca of talking
Babe.
Animal pictures.
Oh, God.
Everyone loves Babe.
How can you not?
I want my mom.
Good heavens. Who are you?
Babe.
There. The little pig's a bit low. He's going to sleep with us.
But Mom, he'll wet the pig.
I was not the hugest fan of Babe.
What?
I don't want to say that I disliked it. But it never quite got to me the way it got to other people. I don't know why that is.
Because you have a cold, dark heart.
Just because I'm dead inside. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I liked Marmaduke. I can't be all bad.
No, but you know what I liked about Babe, in addition to the fact that they're not quite animated, they're kind of puppeteering almost.
Yeah, a little bit.
How they did the snouts and so on of the animals. You have the story of a pig that just wants to herd sheep.
Right.
And who doesn't love a story where the animal kind of wants to be something other than it is?
Yes,
but at
exactly.
the same time, Babe never stops being a pig. The sheep never stop being sheep. And I really liked that about them. They were not trying to make the animals people.
Right.
They were telling a story people could relate to.
Yeah, and it was also one of those, right, and again, it was one of those movies, and I think these are the more successful ones, where the humans are secondary.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like once you start to get the humans and their kind of, you know, oh, my dad, my mom, the kid, and having problems at school and whatever. All that stuff is just never that interesting to me. It's always the animal problems I find more interesting.
Well, if you do the human problems first, if you make that the big issue of the movie, then you definitely have to have the animal die in the movie so the humans learn a lesson. And I think that's what's traumatizing for a lot of people.
Sure.
Or trite, depending on how you look at it. Like,
sure.
Oh, God, I know that Marley's got to die any second now.
Right.
Or I know it's time for the boy to shoot old Yeller. Like, you just know... You have to kill the animal so
that
humans
right.
can come full circle in their emotional journey.
When you said the words "Old Yeller," I had to like get myself together to stop from crying. Old Yeller is just I can't even think about that movie without getting teary eyed. That movie is incredible.
I'm sure most of our listeners know who Old Yeller is, but in case you don't, the truly heartbreaking part is you get so attached to this animal who repeatedly rescues you from. Other animals, because
right.
all the other animals in the movie are completely vicious.
Yeah, it's a bear and a
hog, and then
yeah.
there's like some wild wolf, and there's
yeah.
just one animal attack after another. Old Yeller comes in and saves the little boy, but then in the end, the little boy has to shoot Old Yeller
right,
because Old Yeller has rabies.
He has rabies.
There's no hope for him now, Travis. He's suffering. You know we've got to do it.
I know, Mama. He was my dog. I'll do it.
Oh God! Why am I talking about this? Now I'm getting upset.
I know.
Why
now
am
we're,
I
we're never gonna recover this podcast from Old Yeller.
We're gonna end crying.
I will say one other thing. All the different animal films that fit in all these different categories, like you were saying, Man's Best Friend, and then you know the ones where the animal has to die to impart a lesson, and of course, animal horror movies like Jaws and
yes.
you know things like that. There is one category which is the animal art film. And I know of one animal art film, Ooh. And it actually happens to be one of my favorite movies of all time, called Balthazar. That's at least the English title, in which a donkey is the star of the film. It's from 1966, black and white. Robert Bresson is the director. And it's great because Robert Bresson's whole philosophy was he wanted to remove cinema from the theater. He thought they were two totally different things. And so he never used professional actors. Or when he did, he would drill them through the scenes so many times that they would stop acting just out of exhaustion. So if you see a Robert Bresson movie, everyone's got a completely straight, deadpan expression, and they're saying things in a totally flat, emotionless tone of voice. And here's his best actor yet, the donkey, Balthazar. And the whole movie's about a donkey. And I will tell you, it's one of the most moving and powerful films I've ever seen.
Really? It almost sounds to me like the humans are very much like animals in an animal movie. They're not acting like humans.
Yes.
They're acting more like something else entirely.
That's a good point.
And maybe that's where the emotions come through, because they're not trying to be so convincingly human.
I think
that's some of the problem sometimes, is they're trying too hard to be convincingly human, and then it draws attention to the fact that they're not.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, well, all of this makes me think that when we're done today, I'm going to have to go and watch Jaws or Anaconda.
Sure.
Something like that that's not going to make me cry, but
or
maybe.
Orca. Right.
Orca. Well, Rafer, thank you so much for another great movie date.
It's been great.